You could start.
Thank you. United States Court of International Trade is now in session. The Honorable Gary S. Katzmann presiding before court number 20-00114. The Ancient Tree Cabinet Company Limited et al. Versus the United States et al. Will the attorneys please state their names for the record, starting with the plaintiff?
Good morning, Your Honor. This is Gregory Menegas of DeKeefer Horrigan. I'm here with my colleague, Alexander Salzman, on behalf of plaintiff Ancient Tree.
Good morning.
Good morning, Your Honor.
Mark Ludwikowski from Clark Hill. On behalf of plaintiff intervener Cabinets to Go, I'm here with my colleague, Courtney Taylor.
Good morning, Your Honor. Ioana Christie representing the United States, and I have with me from the Department of Commerce, Savannah Maxwell.
Good morning, Your Honor. This is Luke Meisner from Chagrin Associates. I'm here on behalf of the American Kitchen Cabinet Alliance, the defendant intervener in the action.
Good morning. Council, welcome. You have all received the letter with questions submitted to your you all on March 29th, 2021. And I know that you have gone over the time allocations with Mr. Goal. So just repeat that. So we will begin with counsel for the plaintiff, Ancient Tree, and my understanding is that counsel will be taking the full 25 minutes and not be sharing it with the plaintiff intervener.
That's correct, Your Honor.
Yes, that is correct, Your Honor.
Thank you. And I understand that, Ms. will. We'll give you a signal when you have 5 minutes left in your argument.
Yes.
And with respect to the defendant and the defendant intervener, I understand that you will be splitting your time so that the Department of Justice, Ms. Christe, will be speaking for 15 minutes. And then Mr. Meisner, for the defendant intervener, will be speaking for 10 minutes.
That's correct, Your Honor.
Are we all
yes,
board with that understanding? And I will say at the outset, just to let you know, that as is my practice with oral arguments, I will give the parties an opportunity to submit a post-argument filing with this court of not more than 1,250 words. That's about 5 pages. And that would be due by close of business on Friday, April 16th. So I just let you know that and keep that in the back of your minds. So, we'll begin with the arguments, and as the court's letter of March 29th noted, our hope is that you're having the opportunity to review the answers provided by opposing counsel, the questions, that you will use your time to respond to rebut those answers. Opening statements are certainly not required, but if you wish to speak briefly before diving into the questions, feel free to do so. So without further ado, why don't we begin with the counsel for the plaintiff.
Good morning, Your Honor. This is Gregory Menegas. We represent Ancient Tree. They were a mandatory respondent in this investigation. And I just wanted to provide a very brief overview and then allow my colleague, Ms. Salzman, to dive into the rebuttal. We wanted to give you an overall framework for this case. The outcome and whether an order should apply to Ancient Tree comes down to the surrogate country selection, which itself is informed by two key surrogate value decisions of the Commerce Department. The surrogate value for the sawn wood, which is the main raw material wood, and the best choice of the surrogate financial ratios. With respect to the sawn wood, Commerce basically called it a tie. They didn't dispute that specificity wins the day. They just said that Ancient Tree didn't establish that its woods were more specific in the way that the Malay schedule provides, which is has more specific data than the Romanian schedule. With respect to the financial statements, we think that, you know, that's a win for us, but the Commerce Department basically dismissed them with very little discussion, merely holding that the cost of goods sold was not, you know, broken out into different categories. But in many past cases, as we said in our brief, they've never cared about that before because they're all denominator categories anyway. And so we think that those statements are highly more comparable than the Romanian statement and are favored because there's a larger number of statements, 3 versus 1. So at the end of the day, we think that your decision on the financial statements would essentially determine the outcome of which country has the highest quality information that Commerce should rely on in this case. So with that brief introduction, I'd like to pass it over to my colleague, Ms. Salzman.
Thank you. I will move through the questions and rebuttal. The questions were grouped together by topics, so I'm also going to address in that same way the first set of questions that were asked of the defendant and defendant intervener concerned the commercial significance issue in the sawn wood. Both the United States and defendant intervener continue to conflate what data is needed to consider price aberrancy or commercial significance. For example, the United States repeats several times that Ancient Tree did not submit historical data from Romania to show that the import quantity was different during this period. But such data would only address whether that particular time period had an aberrantly small import quantity compared to previous. It doesn't address the issue when a country continually imports too little imports to be representative of measuring the respondent's cost of production. The department also refused to consider respondents' own data as a measure of commercial reality or the basic commercial unit of a container load. However, the courts have criticized the department for refusing to take this type of benchmark information into consideration, as we raised in our brief and in our own answers. Likewise, the department continues to argue in its questions that Ancient Tree didn't submit the GTA average unit value from other countries as a comparison. But again, that's the department's normal test for price aberrancy. As explained, given the department only finds price aberrancy in cases with extremely wide price divergences, Ancient Tree did not make this argument. While Ancient Tree submits that the higher birch price in Romania compared to Malaysia is significant, considering that's the main raw material, we know that the department has never found that situation to be a case of aberrancy. It's only been many, many times higher. So with that, we looked at the precedent and commercial common sense that the department needs to rely on a quantity that's representative, and that's commercially representative. And that's the argument that we've made. Remembering that overall, the department has to rely upon the best available information to value an input. And that means it's supposed to be representative of a commercial manufacturer of wooden cabinets. So in that vein, Ancient Tree has argued that the import quantity into Romania is not a commercial quantity. Therefore, the resulting price is not going to be a commercial price either. Ancient Tree provided evidence to this point as discussed in Ancient Tree's questions, but the department didn't consider that. They just discussed that they don't want to consider the container load and that we don't have to follow the exact experience as the producer. However, again, as we cited in the briefing and in the questions, the department is obligated to consider evidence on the record. Jacobi Carbons is particularly relevant to this case. It's a more recent case in 2018, so it also discusses a lot of significant other case law on this issue, which is why we reiterated in our questions before the court that this is a particularly relevant and strong case for this argument because it discusses so much other case law. In that case, the court criticized the department for being just making an assertion that the quantity was significant, as opposed to addressing the different metrics on the record. The department can't just say, I don't want to consider those metrics. They need to consider the information on the record, which includes the respondent's own production experience. And just a note about Jacobi Carbons, there were two different Jacobi Carbons appeals of different consecutive appeals, and there were four remands in each of those. We cited from one of them that was particularly relevant, but both those cases discussed at length the idea of aberrancy and of commercial significance on its own. So that appeal should have particular amount of weight in light of how fought over these issues were after many extensive remands and then these resulting opinions discussing significant case law. And even several of the cases raised by the defendant and its answers discusses that the department still needed to justify that it relied upon a commercial quantity-based surrogate value. So, rather than consider that the Romanian quantity is not commercial.
Counsel, could I ask you, are the surrogate value submissions too late to submit descriptive information of ancient trees' factors of production?
No. Jumping ahead to that issue, as we said in our laid out and quoted in our response to the questions, the Section D specifically tells the parties that we can respond to that question of the detailed information of suggested surrogate values in our SV submission. So in our Section D, we did provide more generalized descriptions of our inputs. And then in our surrogate value submission, following the guidelines, we put out our very specific descriptions of our sawnwood as well as MDF particle board. We put out our more detailed description when we suggested the proper HTS to go with that. I can continue on that vein, or I had a few more comments to make on the early question.
Please return to your sequence.
Okay. So just to continue on this quantity issue and then move through the questions still in that manner. The department is required to consider the entire record, including whatever fairly detracts from its decision. And in our view, considering the quantity that Ancient Tree uses, the normal commercial shipments of container loads, it must view that remand is required for the department to address those issues. If a country is importing, a mere container a month of a product that is used in many containers load by a normal commercial wooden cabinet producer, then clearly there's a disconnect of commercial reality there the department needs to address. A commercial producer purchases commercial quantities of its raw materials, and small, insignificant import volumes are understandably presumed to not be representative. So at a very minimum, the department must consider that the Romanian import volumes are less commercial than import volumes into Malaysia. And further, Malaysia provides more specific sawnwood surrogate values in multiple more comparable financial statements. The financial statements are addressed in later questions, but though the court did not ask detailed questions about the specificity of the sawnwood, we just again reiterate that the department treats specificity of surrogate values as a primary consideration. But here the department selected Romania as a surrogate country, which had a less specific HTS based on an uncommercial quantity. So that is addressing those first arguments on quantity that Commerce needs to, in fact, address how, based on the measurements on the record, all of the record information, that those quantities are actually commercial, or that it's even the best information compared to the Malaysian information, particularly in light of the other value data in Malaysia. The next set of questions that you asked involved the financial statements. And just to reiterate, the Malaysian statements were not considered unreliable. No one argued that you can't rely on these statements, you can't calculate financial ratios from them. That was never said. The only issue raised with Malaysia's statements was that they didn't separately segregate out energy expenses from other costs of manufacturing. In other words, in the financial statement, there's the cost of goods line item that includes the costs of materials and energy. And that all goes to, and that energy line is not separately broken out. Raw materials were, labor were, but then the remaining cost of goods sold would include other costs, including energy. So it's not that energy is not included in the financial ratios, they're just not separately shown. So they're all in one line item that goes, and in the denominator, they're all in one line item together anyways. So energy costs are not missing from the Malaysian ratios at all. They're just not separately shown. And the department has relied upon financial statements that do not segregate energy costs in numerous cases, finding that that detail was not a sufficient reason not to rely on those statements, and also not making it a surrogate country issue. At page 5 and 6 of our reply brief and page 19 and 20 of our Rule 56.2 brief, we cited to several examples and could have provided many more. It's not an uncommon situation to not have energy broken out. If all else was equal, breaking out energy expenses could have been considered a reasonable basis for preference. However, all else between the Malaysian and Romanian financial statements are absolutely not equal. The department has an established preference for comparability of the production of a company when selecting surrogate financial statements. And for comparability, Malaysia record is clearly superior. The department considers the comparability of the production process. So the process itself, the type of machinery you would use, the raw materials used, and the level of integration. So as already submitted, two of the Malaysian companies produce cabinets of some variety. In response to that information, the defendant claims that they were not identical subject merchandise because they were standalone cabinets rather than permanent installation like in a kitchen cabinet or a bathroom vanity. But this permanent installation distinction, one, was not raised by the department in its IDM. And then second, it's a false distinction for comparability. A standalone cabinet does not have a discernible production difference compared to one that gets wall mounted. Indeed, a lot of the cabinet units are produced individually and then assembled together on site for installation. The production of a standalone cabinets that Lihan and Pohuat were the two companies that produce cabinets is identical to that of a producer of cabinets that need to be mounted. The raw materials are the same. The production process is the same. The only minor difference is the finishing of a product. Are you going to finish the back to make it a standalone, or are you going to equip it to be installed against a wall? So the focus on that difference at the end of the day falls short. But even if taking the position that those two companies only produce comparable merchandise, so even if you're going to say that's not identical because it's not permanently installed cabinets, even if you say it's only comparable, not identical, Malaysia is still clearly superior and offers the best available information, because both of these companies, as well as a third company, EO Aik, are almost exclusively engaged in the production of wooden furniture. In contrast, Sigstrat, indeed, they say says 50% of its revenue approximately is from plywood and 50% is from molded products. We explained in the briefing that molded products are different than subject merchandise, but even considering molded products are a comparable product, that still leaves half of Sigstrat's business as plywood. And Sigstrat itself says its primary business is plywood. Plywood and veneer production is a significant step upstream from subject merchandise. Ancient Tree consumes plywood and its production of cabinets. Foremost consumes plywood, the other respondent, consumes plywood and its production of cabinets. So moreover, Sigstrat most likely self-consumes its own plywood and its production of molded products. So that also puts it at a different level of integration. So that alone, this level of integration, this different product that they're producing, makes Sigstrat less comparable than the Malaysian statements. So even if you're going to assume that the Malaysian companies only produce comparable merchandise, at the end of the day, they're still significantly more comparable than a plywood producing company. And there are three of these statements. The department has a well-established preference for multiple financial statements. This is usually the key component that causes the department to select a surrogate country at the end of the day. It's the quality and number of financial statements. And so this case definitely stands in strong contrast to its normal situation. The department made a very different decision here. The next set of questions you asked involve the Sigstrat ratios, which I'm only going to address very briefly. I think that what we put in our answer to the questions really already addresses these points. The department did something different. They calculated the ratios different than they had for several years past, and didn't explain it. Ancient Tree pointed out that the method that the department used in the past used more line items, more breakout expenses, which usually means that that's more accurate of a description. But in the investigation here, they only used 8 line items. They used a different, they didn't use the more detailed notes. On its face, the assumption is it's less accurate, but the department never explained it. And with respect to providing the older financial statement, as we explained, the record had already closed by the time the department did something different in the prelim. We were not expecting the department to depart from its way of calculating these ratios that had done for several years in several wood cases. So in the prelim, they did do something different. And it was, the record was already closed, and it was not of our knowledge beforehand that we should have thought ahead to think they would have done that and put on the 2017 statement. And at the end of the day, the department has institutional knowledge of the statement and the ratios that they've calculated for years and should not blind itself to that information in order to explain why something different happened.
Is it possible to glean Commerce's past that financial ratio calculation based on what is included on the record, specifically from multi-layer wood?
I mean, you can see that the ratio calculation is different, and they relied on a different, they didn't rely on the more detailed note in the ratio calculation they did in this investigation, but there's no explanation of why they did that. And we can't decipher why they did that, especially when they had consistently calculated the ratios in a different manner for several years. So we think that issue also on its own would require remand of an explanation for this change. And the next set of issues, questions you asked were on the detail of the sawnwood and other inputs and when and where you need to argue what your inputs are. So the DOJ had asserted that we only raised the specificity of the sawnwood in our case brief. But I mean, it was asserted in our preliminary SVs, final SVs, and our preliminary comments before Commerce. We've said all along, our sawnwood, whenever we've described the sawnwood in detail, we've said our sawnwood is not plain, it's not end jointed. So this is the proper HTS classification for it. And as we said, each of these submissions, these surrogate value submissions, we have to include a company certification from Ancient Tree saying this is an accurate statement. So these are not just suggestions from attorneys. These are from the company itself saying these are the proper HTSs for our input. This is the way that they are. This is the way that we describe them. This is the way we would value them, the best matching HTS to what we consume. And indeed, so we had put this in all of these preliminary SV submissions, our preliminary comments. We argued that this is the proper HTS, so therefore Malaysia is superior to Romania because it's more specific. That was all in our comments before the preliminary results. The department did not address that in the prelim. They didn't address the specificity argument at all. Only in the final results did the department appear to doubt what we had said all along. So we submit that these submissions of fact before Commerce, without any doubt or questions to the contrary until a final decision, is improper, and the department needs to accept the way that we have described our raw materials. This was an unchallenged description, and there's nothing on the record to the contrary. And we'd also submit that the department, knowing that we had said our raw materials are not end jointed or planed, went on a verification to the factory as well. I was at this verification. The department went to the factory. They observed the raw materials, including the sawnwood. The department saw the processing of the wood. They saw that it was cut and it was drilled and it was milled and then it was slotted for cabinets. All of this processing does not make sense to use on something that's already been planed or already been end jointed. So even the reality of what we're doing with the product should make it clear that this is not does not have that further manufacturing. And I would also just particularly point the judge to look at exhibit SQ4-10 which is at page, let me get you the JA. It's at a JA 30, but it's page 30 of our, of the second part of our joint appendix. It was filed in two parts. It's the page 30 is the easy way to find it, is the detailed process chart of our production process. So we have the flowchart, and then we also described in detail each of the processes. So you can see the further processing that's happening here, which also then lends itself to the next group of questions the court had, which was on the classification of MDF, particle board, and paint. So MDF and particle board, very similar situation to what we've discussed with Sonwood. We have submitted that what Ancient Tree purchases is not surface covered. Ancient Tree's production process, so that same exhibit, SQ410, detailed explanation of all of the processing that happens. So when you look at that, you can see that the MDF and particle board is cut and milled and slotted. And then after that, it goes to the coating workshop where it's primed and coated. Therefore, it's wholly illogical that Ancient Tree would purchase. Thank you. It's wholly illogical that Ancient Tree would purchase a more expensive surface covered product when it was then going to continue to process and surface cover it itself. So the only evidence that the United States put in their comments was Ancient Tree's product brochure. They said, look at the pictures of the products here. The cabinets have MDF and particle board that's laminated on the outside. However, if you look at our processing, Ancient Tree is the one that's doing that themselves at the factory. And that was observed at verification as well. So the record does not contain any information that Ancient Tree purchased surface covered MDF or particle board. Therefore, the department's classification is not supported, and Ancient Tree's statements of fact on the record and its production supports its own classification. So that issue as well, the department has not justified its position, and all the evidence on the record only supports what Ancient Tree has said itself. And the last input of these issues of classification is the paint. And we'd again just direct the court to what we said in our comments. Verification exhibit 15 specifically says water-based paint, water-based UV paint on all of the purchase documents and invoices for this product. So we've always said when we, in our surrogate value submissions, that this is a water-based paint and put forward a water-based HGS, and the only information on the record supports that. With a few minutes remaining, I just want to conclude with our overarching main argument here. The defendant and defendant intervener have listed cases that they feel best support their case. We've listed them as well. At the end of the day, it's about best available information. The department relied upon Romania as the primary surrogate country, finding fault with Malaysia merely because the statements didn't delineate energy. And that's an issue that the department has never made critical in this way in the past. And in contrast, did not consider the detailed information about the financial statements comparability or the Sonwood specificity, which is the most critical input into this product. So on the one hand, you have Malaysia, who had a 10-digit specific HGS for the main raw materials, and they were based on a larger commercial quantity. And on the other side, you had Romania, which imported a mere couple hundred cubic meters of these critical inputs at a 6-digit level. So based on quantity and specificity, at the end of the day, Malaysia had the better information for the main raw material. And then as Greg said at the very beginning of our, Mr. Menegas said at the very beginning of our argument, we think financials at the end of the day should have won this case. And we were surprised in all of our years of experience to see that the department did not make the decision on the comparability of financial statements. Malaysia, as we just walked through, offers far more comparable financial statements and three of them. We'd submit that at least two of these produce identical merchandise, but at a minimum, three of them are primarily engaged in the production of wooden furniture. And they specifically list out their raw materials, and they're the same raw materials that Ancient Tree produces. These are highly comparable companies, and there are three of them. Why Romania has one statement and at least half of its business is plywood, which is the only raw material consumed by Ancient Tree. So it's at a different level of integration, and it produces a different product. So Malaysia sources the best available information, and the court should remand to the department to consider the best available information to value the raw materials and the financial statements, as well as to address these other issues we've just gone over of the classification of certain inputs and the change in the ratio calculation. And with that, I would rest my rebuttal.
Thank you very much, Ms. Saltzman. We'll now move to the to the government, Ms. Chris Day.
Yes, Your Honor. Thank you. May it please the court, we will address Ancient Tree's responses to the questions posed by the court, but as an initial matter, the record and Commerce's explanations demonstrate that Commerce's decision to choose Romania was supported by substantial evidence because it presented the best data overall. Now, moving into the questions posed by the court, the first set of questions address the issue of commerciality. Now, in the first question, the court asked what record evidence demonstrates that the Romanian imports fail to reflect market values. Now, as an initial matter, Commerce's goal in performing the surrogate value methodology is to determine whether the values proposed are aberrational, which is a highly fact-specific determination, and it's very dependent on what information is in the record. So this question of commercial versus aberrational or distortive data is there. Yes, they are different questions, but at the end of the day, they're highly interdependent. So, and one question doesn't necessarily come before the other. So small import quantities on their own are not inherently distortive, but they have to be demonstrated to be aberrational in some way. So just comparing the two import quantities doesn't give us an answer, because Commerce's practice is to determine if the data is distortive. It doesn't use quantity per se. Instead, Commerce uses the per unit value to determine whether a small import quantity results in an aberrational import value. And it also examines the historical HTS data to determine whether in a historical context, the data are aberrational. Now, here, significantly—
Just to follow, counsel, sorry. So just so that I understand this, Ancient Tree explicitly does not argue that the data is aberrant. It argues that it is commercially insignificant. So I think you've been addressing this point. I just want to make sure that I understand it. So does that change your analysis? Did Commerce properly address the Romanian sawnwood's commercial significance?
Well, I guess I was really getting to my next point, Your Honor, that Ancient Tree, as it admitted, hasn't made any arguments that the data is distortive. And on the sawnwood inputs, So Ancient Tree makes this argument to look at Sigstrut's percentage of revenue generated. But again, this is not supported by any authority. Ancient Tree doesn't cite to anything supporting this argument, and it's completely based on hypotheticals. So there is no record evidence to show. And Commerce did determine it. Examined on starting on page 38 of the IDM, and then at page 43 of the IDM addressing Ancient Tree's arguments, Commerce explained that there was no evidence that this data was distortive in any way. So Commerce did in fact perform this analysis to see whether the data was in fact distortive and whether it should rely on it, and determined that the data was not distortive. And I think what's important to remember here, Your Honor, is that Commerce can never make a perfect choice. Commerce is trying to determine, based on the record evidence, what the best country overall is to use for its analysis of the factors of production. So here, while the Romanian data may not have been completely perfect in every single aspect, the Romanian data did provide the best overall comparison for Commerce to use. And moving on to the second question posed by the court, if respondents don't place adequate information on the record, then Commerce simply cannot make the proper determinations because Commerce has no subpoena power. Here, Commerce did not ignore any evidence on the record, but in fact, shown as demonstrated in the IDM, Commerce did take into account all of the evidence that was placed on the record. And the IDM shows that that data was merely insufficient. There was no record here of per unit values from other countries or of any historical data, historical HTS data. So Commerce couldn't use that data because the parties did not place it on the record. And a quick answer to question number three, commerciality does not inform aberrancy, as I think I've already stated, but this leads me into question four. Now, while commerciality and aberrancy may be different considerations, the determination of each is interdependent, as I've said. And case law does not find that the inquiries are separate. Plaintiff cited to Zhuangqing Kangtai Chemical Company at page 22 and cited the quote that states, Commerce's decision failed to establish that the amount imported was statistically or commercially significant. But plaintiff left out the sentence where the court states that Commerce's typical practice is to ensure that a small quantity of imports did not produce a price that is aberrational relative to other sources of market value. And again, Ancient Tree cites to Shanghai Foreign Trade Enterprises, but the facts there are distinguishable from the facts here. In that case, the plaintiff submitted import statistics from the prior period and data to whether the import quantities were commercially significant. The plaintiff there also submitted information regarding market prices from other sources. Here, Ancient Tree did not submit any of that data. It identified no information showing that the Romanian data are in any way aberrational and only argues that the data are not commercial, which again is not the ultimate or the only question. Therefore, because Ancient Tree hasn't shown any type of aberrancy in this data, Commerce determined reasonably based on an examination of the record that the data was not distortive. I'd like to move on to question five and the standard for comparable versus identical. Now there are different standards for these two analyses. The standard for determining whether merchandise is identical is determined on a case-by-case basis. So it's very fact-specific. And here, the information on the record did not demonstrate that the two Malaysian companies produced identical merchandise. Now, this determination takes into account the specific physical characteristics of the merchandise, how the merchandise is produced, and the relevant market. Here, the only information that Ancient Tree provided was product brochures and website photos, which Commerce determined did not show identical products. Additionally, none of the Malaysian financial statements identified financial data for production of sales of in-scope wooden cabinets and vanities. And I highlight in-scope, Your Honor, because that is a very important consideration. Here, Commerce explained that the scope of this investigation excludes any merchandise covered by a separate order on wooden bedroom furniture. And this is at 85 Federal Register 11,961. So the merchandise being investigated under this particular order would not include standalone wooden furniture. So while Ancient Tree makes the claim that Commerce did not raise the permanent installation distinction, that's not in fact the case at all. Now, moving on to the calculation of the Sigstraat financial ratios. And I'll move on to question seven. Now, here, Commerce made a reasoned decision based on the evidence placed on the record as to what method of calculation it would use. And this is very important to address, Your Honor. Ancient Tree makes the argument that commerce has a broad reaching methodology that it's used for many, many years that it did not follow here. That is absolutely not the case at all in this situation. Ancient Tree placed on the record one single alternate calculation for the 2016-2017 administrative review. There is no other information from prior cases that could show that this is a broad-reaching methodology or institutional practice. Now, in that 2016-2017 review, there was no information on the record here about the reasoning for the methodology commerce performed in that review. And the actual financial statement for that proceeding is not on the record here. And the burden is on the respondents to place relevant and pertinent information on the record. Here, there was no way, because commerce cannot calculate the financial ratios in a manner consistent with the past, where the reasoning for the prior calculations or even the data relied upon is not in the record. And Ancient Tree does not directly.
So information, is that available to, I'm unclear about this. Are you saying it's not available to commerce?
That's right, Your Honor. Information that is on the record in other proceedings is not available to commerce in the record of the current proceeding. The burden is on the parties to place that information on the record if it is relevant to the investigation. And commerce here has explained. I'm sorry, what was that, Your Honor?
Sorry. How would another party go about obtaining that information from another proceeding and placing it in the record of, let's say, this proceeding?
Your Honor, I'm not exactly sure, but I guess we would say that in this situation, Ancient Tree did find that 2016-2017 review. And so if it found one, then it absolutely had the means to find another. And so if Ancient Tree is making the argument that here there is a specific practice that commerce follows year to year, then Ancient Tree could absolutely have found evidence from other reviews to support that argument, but they did not do so here. And Commerce did, as I was saying, Commerce did explain specifically its reasoning for choosing the Romanian financial statements in detail. It also showed its calculations in detail on the record. And commerce's obligation is simply that its path must be reasonably discernible. Here from the explanations in the IDM and in the detailed calculation spreadsheets, the parties could absolutely determine or could reasonably determine why commerce made those specific calculations. Moving on to the HTS values,
but it would not be. I just want to be clear on this. So, your position is that based upon what's in the record, one could discern how the reasoning for commerce in reaching its calculations. But you're saying also that based upon what's not in the record, it's not possible to make the comparative analysis that the plaintiffs urge. The comparative analysis of other financial calculations.
That's right, Your Honor. And I see my time is running out. May I answer?
Yes, please.
Yes.
Thank you. Just to clarify, what we're saying is that in this situation, Commerce explained why it chose the particular financial statements. So it explained the values that it took into account in selecting these financial statements. And then it placed its exact calculations in a worksheet for parties to see what values Commerce took into account in making those calculations. But the difference from the information on the record is that in that previous case, the particular values that were taken into account in Commerce's calculation were not placed on the record. And maybe perhaps they were placed on the record of that investigation, but they weren't placed on the record here. And because Commerce could not go back based on that record evidence and say that these are the values we used in the past, and so this is the calculation we performed based on those values, it's impossible for Commerce now to say, oh, we should do the same calculation, because based on the different values, a different calculation may be warranted.
Thank you, counsel.
It is time.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you. Mr. Meisner.
Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the court, Luke Meisner from Chagrin Associates here on behalf of the defendant intervener, the Alliance. I'll just dive right into rebutting the responses that Ancient Tree has to Your Honor's questions on the record. Turning first to the issue of commercial quantities, the evidence cited by Ancient Tree fails to show that Romanian imports for sawnwood are not competitive commercial transactions. Ancient Tree states that one measure of commercial quantities is whether imports are enough to fill at least one container. As in Zhuancheng Kangtai, however, Ancient Tree fails to cite any evidence on the record showing that in order for a transaction to be commercial for sawnwood, it must involve a full container. And the 30 cubic meters referenced by Ancient Tree as a full container is the total volume of a container. Like if you took a container and filled it with water or sand, it's not the volume of sawnwood that you could fit in one container, which is a different question. But even if 30 cubic meters were the relevant metric for commercial significance for sawnwood, if you look at page 9 of Ancient Tree's moving brief, the majority of the monthly imports of sawnwood into Romania do involve roughly 30 cubic meters or more, showing under Ancient Tree's own metric that they are commercially significant. Ancient Tree also cites a respondent's own experience as a measure of commercial experience, of commercial significance. Now, first, following the Federal Circuit's guidance in Nanya Plastics, Commerce and this court have repeatedly rejected the notion that Commerce must compare import quantities to a respondent's own consumption experience to determine if the quantities are commercial. And that's outlined in Zhuangcheng Kangtai, Diamond Saw Blades, and PET resin from China. But again, even if this was a relevant metric, it would not show that Malaysian import statistics are somehow superior to the Romanian import statistics. For the complete picture, which involves some business proprietary information, I would invite the court to examine page 5 of our answers to questions, which compares the import statistics for Romania and Malaysia to both of the respondents' consumption quantities. But one thing I will note now, since Ancient Tree has made it public, Malaysian imports of birch are not sufficient to cover Ancient Tree's consumption of birch. And so by its own metric, Malaysian import statistics are not commercially significant. And so they would have to be rejected. So how is Malaysia so much better than Romania, such that it would have to be selected as the primary surrogate country? The last measure of commercial significance that Ancient Tree references is just a comparison of Malaysian import quantities to Romanian import quantities. But as Commerce has explained, a comparison of two data points cannot show whether one or both points is aberrational. If you put Shaquille O'Neal and me next to each other in a room, Ancient Tree would likely argue that my height of 5'8" is aberrationally low compared to Shaq's height of 7 feet plus. But this is illustrates why it's helpful to have a broader range of benchmarks on the record to gauge whether a particular data point is aberrational. I want to note that in its second question to Ancient Tree, the court asked what authorities support the contention that Commerce must conduct a commercial quantity test when the respondent has failed to provide sufficient data to conduct such a test, including which would include under the court's authorities, other relevant AUV benchmarks or the import statistics from other countries that are economically comparable to China. In its response, Ancient Tree has failed to cite a single direct supporting authority for that contention. But numerous authorities that we have cited support the contrary proposition, that Commerce does not need to conduct a commercial significance test when the relevant evidence is not available. And that includes diamond saw blades, Baoding mounting, and shake-proof assemblies. Now, I want to underscore that the commercial quantity and the aberrancy tests are completely interdependent. Ancient Tree tries to draw a bright line between the significance of the commercial quantity test and the aberrancy test when there is none. Both of these tests are part of the same inquiry. Is there something about a country's import statistics that make them unreliable, distorted, or inaccurate such that they would not serve as appropriate surrogate values? And Ancient Tree's own rationale underscores how these tests are interdependent. According to Ancient Tree, the essential concern with a low quantity of imports is the, quote, potential volatility in pricing. End quote. Of course it is. But the only way to test whether a low import quantity results in volatility in pricing is to compare the price or the AUV of those imports to other relevant benchmarks on the record. And Ancient Tree failed to provide those benchmarks. And in numerous cases, including Shakeproof Assembly and Wancheng Kangtai again, the court has found that a small quantity of imports does not by itself mean that import statistics must be disregarded. The essential inquiry is whether the record shows that the import statistics are unreliable and inaccurate, which is not the case here. I'll discuss briefly the question of whether or not the Malaysian producers' financial statements show the production of identical merchandise. Identical merchandise means merchandise within the scope. And the scope here defined the subject merchandise as wooden cabinets and vanities that are for permanent installation. Commerce looked at the information that the respondents provided for Li Hen and Fo Huat, and it found that those companies' cabinets are not for permanent installation. And so they didn't involve identical merchandise. Commerce's decision was thus completely supported by the record evidence. Now, you know, Ancient Tree wants to get into a battle of, well, which financial statements reflected the most comparable merchandise to the respondents. And you can look at Li Hen's financial statements and the information on the record, which show that in addition to cabinets, it also made things like upholstered furniture and kiln drying timber. So, and Fo Huat, the other Malaysian producer, states that one of its principal business activities is investment holding. So The bottom line is Commerce found appropriately that the Malaysian companies and Sigstrat, the Romanian company, are both producers of comparable merchandise. Turning to the issue of the specificity of the inputs, and Your Honor asked, where did Ancient Tree provide evidence regarding its sawnwood being not planed and not jointed? So I want to back up and just talk about the process for valuing factors of production. Commerce's regulation and practice establish essentially a two-stage process for valuing factors, raw material inputs, such as sawnwood. In the first stage,
2 minutes,
the respondent enumerates the factors it consumes and describes them with enough detail that Commerce and the other parties can search for HTS codes that match the factors that have been reported. The first stage includes the filing of initial questionnaire responses and supplemental responses by the respondent. At the end of the first stage, all of the parties have a clear and equal understanding of the factors consumed. In the second stage, the parties submit information to value the factors that were enumerated and described in the first stage. This includes import statistics under specific HTS codes that match the description of the factors. In this case, Ancient Tree is trying to use information from the second stage of the process to provide additional details about the factors that it consumed. If this was allowed, it would disrupt completely Commerce's practice for developing the record to value factors of production. Now imagine, Your Honor, if Ancient Tree had provided information in its surrogate value submissions that, in addition to birch and poplar, it also consumed cherry and teak wood to produce the cabinets. This would clearly be impermissible. In the same manner, it was impermissible to provide new details regarding the type of inputs that Ancient Tree consumed. In other words, not planed and not jointed birch, but instead of birch more generally. Now, focusing on Appendix 7, which Ancient Tree tries to make a big deal out of, Ancient Tree mischaracterizes Commerce practice for valuing inputs when it suggests that the questionnaire allows Ancient Tree to submit, quote, submissions of fact concerning the nature of its inputs in a surrogate value submission. That's absolutely false. As support for this suggestion, Ancient Tree cites to the spreadsheets of Appendix 7 of the Section D questionnaire. I sincerely invite—
It is time.
I'll just conclude quickly, Your Honor. At the end of the day, Ancient Tree is asking this court to reweigh all of the record evidence and reach a different conclusion than Commerce reached with respect to the appropriate primary surrogate country in the underlying investigation. But there's no reason to overturn Commerce's decision, and it should be upheld. Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you, Mr. Meisner. I have a quick question for you, counsel for the government. Can Commerce's preference for superior financial statements outweigh its usage of a less comparable manufacturer?
I'll take a first crack at that one, Your Honor. Commerce attempts to select financial statements that are the best available information on the record to value a respondent's factors of production, which includes its surrogate financial ratios. Now, in doing that, it looks at a huge number of different factors. One of them is the level of detail of the financial statements, and do they provide enough specific line items that Commerce can ensure itself that the financial ratios are calculated precisely and accurately. And that was the basis for its decision in the underlying investigation for finding that Sigstrat's financial statements were superior to the Malaysian producers. Your Honor's asked whether or not that preference, the preference for comparable producers can outweigh the preference for detailed financial statements. There's many competing preferences and factors that commerce relies on. Some of them being, are there multiple financial statements from a single country? Do the financial statements provide a sufficient level of detail? Do the financial statements reflect the production of identical or comparable merchandise? Do the financial statements contain countervailable subsidies that would distort the SG&A and profit that are calculated by commerce? Commerce looks at all of these and, based on the totality of the circumstances, makes a decision as to which financial statements are the best on the record. And here, it made the decision that SIGSTRATs were the best, and that decision is supported by substantial evidence. The question is not what AncientTree would have selected as the best available financial statements, nor is it what this court would have selected as the best financial statements. The question is, was Commerce's decision that SIGSTRAT's financial statements were the best reasonable and supported by the record evidence? And that, I think the answer to that question is a resounding yes.
Thank you, Mr. Meisner. Ms. Christe, do you have anything to add to that? Can Commerce's preference for superior financial statements outweigh its usage of a less comparable manufacturer?
Your Honor, we agree with what Mr. Meisner said. Commerce has a duty to use the best available information to value the factors of production in order to calculate as accurate a margin as possible. And there are many things that Commerce considers when weighing this evidence, as Mr. Meisner explained.
Thank you, counsel. Mr. Menegaz, Ms. Saltzman, I gave your sister and brother counsel a couple more minutes. Is there anything you would like to add in the next couple minutes?
I would add our own response to the question that was just asked. If the department can't calculate ratios, like there's a question of reliability, like there's not enough detail to calculate, then indeed that would be an issue that would outweigh other problems. But that's not the case here. The Malaysian ratios, we calculated them. They had line items, just to actually as many as the SIGSTRAT final ratios. It's not that they were lacking in detail, that they couldn't calculate ratios. And we provided a lot of examples of the department relying on statements without energy expenses. So it wasn't an issue of reliability. And when that's not an issue, the absolute number one concern of the department is comparability of their production, which makes sense. We're trying to calculate the overhead costs, the SG&A costs, and the profit margin of a cabinet producer. So obviously what they produce, what they consume, what type of overhead costs they're going to have, are absolutely, the comparability of that is absolutely the most critical component of that. So finding a financial statement that's most comparable to the production process isn't their number one concern, and that's consistent and always has been. And we've cited several examples in our cases, and the department is aware that that is always their number one concern, is the specificity of inputs. And at when it gets to the financial statement, it's the comparability of that financial statement.
Your Honor, could I add one more point? Government counsel seemed to make a distinction that for installation brought, standalone cabinets outside the scope, maybe the standalone cabinets made in Malaysia, but there's also US anti-dumping orders on plywood and wood moldings. And so that brings all of SIGSTRAT's production outside the scope of the cabinets case as well. So that's just not a helpful distinction. You have to look at the details. What were the materials they consumed? What were the steps of production? And, we think we've made a compelling case that the Malay wood cabinets producers are far more comparable than SIGSTRAT.
Thank you.
And with that, I think the rest.
Thank you, counsel. That concludes our argument. At the outset of the argument, I noted that I give the attorneys an opportunity to make a post-argument submission to this court of not more than 1,250 words. And I think I said that it would be due on Friday, April 16th. I'd like to change that to give you a little more time to close the business April 19th. So you're free to write on whatever you want. And you're not compelled to make a submission, but if there's something you want to clarify, amplify, elaborate upon, this is your opportunity to do that. Audio of the oral argument, as I understand it, will be posted to the website sometime this afternoon, in case you want to go back and listen to the arguments. So thank you all for your enlightening arguments and your filings. I hope that you remain safe and well, and we look forward to returning to the courthouse. So take care and be well. Thank you, Mr. Goal, and thank you to our IT staff, and we'll be in touch. Thank you. Court is adjourned. Thank you.
Thank you so much.